that you bestow upon us continually, day in, day out, even at night during our sleep, Lord. You are our precious Abba, and we worship you in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place and in each and every one of our meetings tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. You may be seated. Goodbye, lunch, and goodbye, teens. So long. We'll see you later. Praise God. Well, it was starting to rain at Jesse's house when I was on my way. But it didn't rain at our house yet, but it's going to. So, did it rain out there, Chris, yet? Was it raining? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. That's good. I asked for it early this morning because my big trees, they need rain. They're starting to kind of go, oh. Anyway, this was the last day of the harsh weather. It is. Well, just watch. The last day. Praise the Lord. Now it's going to get better. It's going to. I mean, you know, anything below 100 is better. Praise the Lord. God is good. Man, I tell you, on Sunday, we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a couple of testimonies that is going to light your fire. We were having some things happen off of our Psalm 46. And, you know, he's in the midst of her. He will help her right early. She will not be moved. I'm telling you, the thermostats had a prayer meeting here yesterday. It was glorious, wasn't it? We were going places. It was amazing. And people watching online were telling me about it. It was, Danny was like, you got something to say? And I'm like, no. It was really something. So thank God for it. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Romans 12:18. We'll work on something for a few minutes. We're going to go and continue talking about faith for relationships. Mm-hmm. I know I stepped on your toes on Sunday. All right. We won't do too much toe stepping tonight. We'll save that for next Sunday. But I want to show you a couple of things. I think you'll like this. We're going to stay on this. We're going to learn how to navigate relationships. And so Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now look at that. If it's possible. Yeah. With God, all things are possible, but with people, not so much. People have their own will, and so sometimes it's just not going to be that they're going to want to change their mind. They'll go another way. And sometimes we have to live with that, but you know, with God, all things are possible. Franklin D. Roosevelt said, if you treat people right, they'll treat you right, ... 90% of the time. Meaning somewhere, somehow, there's going to be someone who's not going to line up with, you know, what you're doing, the walk you're interested in. And so, but with God, we have guarantees, but we can live good in spite of that. So, and that's really, church, where we have to get back to the basic truth that I tell you all the time. It's kind of hurtful to our soul when we hear it, but the truth is, it's none of my business. Whether you love me, it's my business to love you. And so, then God will take up my cause. But, you know, Brother Copeland was mad at Gloria. And the Lord stopped him and said, it's none of your business whether she loves you or not. And he said, what? And she's like, yeah, it's your business to love her. In other words, God and Gloria have to deal with loving Kenneth. God and Kenneth have to deal with loving Gloria. So it's my business to let God deal with me to love you. And for me to be okay if you don't love me. Amen. All right. So we're like, yeah, but I don't like that. Well, we have faith in God, and there's something that we use, and it's called agape. That's right. Agape love, and that's that unconditional love. That's the love that God has. And so we would want to understand and learn and live and choose unconditional love. No matter how other people act, if they're in the dark about certain revelation, if they don't understand certain things, if they're not flowing like you're flowing, the truth is still this. God loves them. God loves you. You do your best at all times possible to walk peaceably with all men. Amen. So, you know, agape is different than the other loves. There are actually four kinds of love, agape being one of them. If you look in the Greek, you're going to see storge, phileo, and eros besides agape. And so agape is that strong, selfless, and sacrificial love. Okay. It's like they use the word charity. It's a giving love. And it's like hesed. It's like hesed. It's a covenant. It's good. I'm going to do this. I'm choosing to love. So, and that's the love that's actually going to help you have the most success, is if you can love people unconditionally. Now, we don't diminish the other types of love. They're important. But agape is our aim when we're looking to get into the healthiest possible way to be in a relationship. You have to have the agape. But you know, God planted in each of us to love and to be loved. And in fact, let's just talk about the others for just a minute, just in case someone here doesn't know what they are. The storge love is care that exists between a family. The family members, the real close friends, companions, it's that longer lasting, goes beyond initial infatuation relationship. You know, your best friend, you've been together for a long time. It's not just an attraction of, hey, I really like those folks. It's deeper than that. And it's built on familiarity, you know. You've been together a long time, and it's devotion, intimacy, and it develops over time. Then phileo love, that's friendship. And that's most often used to describe between people that have a warmth for each other. They're friend. Oh, man, like I said, you know, I really like that person. They're just so special. You know, I really like the lady that sells me my car, so I always go to the same lady. That's where that would fall in. I don't know her personally. She tells me about her life, but I don't know her personally. But I'll go back to her. She's a good person, and I just like her. She's no nonsense. I kind of like people like that. And so, you know, but then in a broader sense, it can also apply to churches or even cities. And the scripture uses that there was, well, listen to phileo. What does that sound like? That sounds like Philadelphia. And what do they call Philadelphia? Brotherly love. Okay. So it's a type of flow, but it's where you share interests and beliefs and values. I'll say it like that. It's good friends who would look out for each other. They're going to go, here, let me help you. Praise the Lord. Okay. And then eros love, that's passion. That would be an affection meant to describe healthy sensual love, which would be between married people. Yeah. Amen. And so that needs to be there, and needs to be a healthy relationship. And then, of course, the agape. So the agape would be between God and us and the Lord, back both ways, God and us and God, and us and others. Okay, so while we're going to love with all four loves, agape is going to be the one that keeps us out of the self stuff. Okay, now, here's a scripture. This is Proverbs 3:3-4. Says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Now, here's 1 Peter 4:8. I love this. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. You know, when you love someone, you go, oh, it'll be all right. We'll get past this. It'll be okay. You know, you're like, they didn't mean it. You know how you are with your babies. You're like, you know, well, you know, We can forgive that quickly, those kind of things. Amen. And so on and so on. You do that with people that you love. Now, so we want to navigate through the relationship. So let's just look at somebody who knew how to navigate through relationships, and that would be the Apostle Paul. So what I want to do is I want to talk to you about the seven kinds of people that Paul dealt with, how he dealt with them. And so let me tell you what he thought first. This is what he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:6. He said, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, and I've kept the faith." So what he's saying is, I've done all right. I'm satisfied that I did what I was supposed to do. I apprehended what I was apprehended for. And so his business was people. Yes, his business was God, but if you're in God's business, then you're in people business. True. Amen. And so he felt like he did an okay job. I sure feel like he did an okay job. So the first kind of persons, like I said, there's seven of them, and the first type of person he dealt with was himself. He dealt with himself. You have to manage yourself, church. You have to manage yourself. You have to have a good sense of who you are before you can help other people. And you have to help you, not in a selfish way, not like it's all about me. It's not that kind of thing, but it's in a management way. Like this, what they tell you on the airplane. Put your mask on first before you put your child's on. In other words, you need to be able to take charge here. So don't fall out trying to help somebody else. Get yourself in the right way. And then you really will help people. You won't just be kind of looking like you're helping people. You'll help people if you learn how to manage yourself. And this is a really big deal. And that's why I want to work on this. But and what we'll do is on Sunday, we'll probably go back to talking about managing ourselves. But the second thing that the Apostle Paul dealt with was spiritual sons. And of course, you can all name the main spiritual son, Timothy. And so 2 Timothy 4:9 says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." Now, I just wrote this in here to let you know that Paul bossed Timothy around a little bit. But when he said, "Come to me quickly," Timothy went. Listen, Timothy was the pastor of the church of Ephesus. It was big. It was a big church, the biggest church. And yet, what did he say? Write back to Paul and tell Paul, "I'm overloaded with these people. I cannot come to you." He did not do that. He went.
Right.
He knew he was second man. Amen. Mm-hmm. And he knew what he needed to do. Praise the Lord. And so, and it was with practical stuff. It's like Paul was saying, "I need you to come to me and bring some paper and pen because we're going to write some letters." Yeah. You get what I'm trying to tell you there. So that was the feel of it. So a lot of people want to be Timothy's, but they just want to be called to preach when the pastor's out of town. But that's not really who Timothy is. Right. Timothy grew up in relationship with Paul, not Paul just giving him a step up, a leg up so that he could have his own ministry. He actually wanted Paul to look good. He wanted Paul's ministry. See, when you're mindful to take care of someone else's ministry, then you'll be given more responsibility. But if you're doing it just so that you're trying to get to pastor just so they'll help you have a better ministry, you've got the wrong motive. Amen. And most of you know that. So, but he had to deal with sons, and he had all kinds of sons. But he's going to manage himself within that. And as he's doing that, he's going to be growing up. He's going to be raising up sons, looking at people. And then as you do that in life, as you're coming along, there's three relationships that you're going to be having. So three within what we're talking about right here. One of them is you're going to be in, you know, there's a book called In Search of Timothy. Yeah. One of my favorite books. I give that to the people I mentor. And then there's a book called In Search of Paul, meaning in your life, you're going to need a mentor. If you care anything about reaching your goals, you need a mentor. Amen. And then the second type of person that you are going to need in your life is you're going to need a Barnabas. Barnabas was an encourager. You need someone in your life to encourage, right? Yeah. Amen. Are y'all here? Yeah. And then the third person in your life would be a Timothy, then someone you can pour into. So you have someone pouring into you, you have someone encouraging you, and then you have someone you pour into. And then you could flip this all around and look at it the other way also, that, well, that's really a good enough way to say it. I don't think I'll go the other way yet. We'll work on that a little bit. But this is how you flow in life. This is how you get to where you are. You always, if you were going to open a business, find the person who knows how to do that. And don't be so proud that you're going, I'm going to do it myself. To someone who's already been there can help you. So that's where we need mentors in life. I heard that Art Jr. had Gabe read some books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Napoleon Hill, yeah. What's he doing? Mentoring him into the business world, okay? I mean, so that's a good thing. Eventually, Gabe will pour into someone in his life. Doesn't have to be overnight. Sometimes we have to learn and learn and learn, but we all need mentors. We don't just become a mentor and then we don't ever need anybody else. Praise the Lord. Okay, number three, which by the way, you can become a Barnabas yourself. Encourage people. Okay, now number three, Paul had to deal, and you're going to have to deal with people who disappoint you. True. People who disappoint you. And so 2 Timothy 4:10 says, he was telling Timothy there, he said, come to me, I need you. And he said, because Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed to Thessalonica. And so he's gone. And then another guy was there too, Titus for Dalmatia. So they're like, okay, yeah, we'll see you later, Paul. And so Paul's calling the one who would come. Because everybody else got tired. They want to go home or whatever. They don't want to do it anymore. And so you're going to have to deal with people like that in your life, that they're going to disappoint you. Everybody has those kind of people in their life. And, I mean, let's think about this. Jesus had disciples going to sleep right before he's crucified. That's pretty tough. And if you look all through, think about Moses leading everybody out of Egypt, and then those guys turned their back on him. Immediately, his sister and brother started something. I mean, that's pretty disappointing. You know, I mean, and we could tell story after story after story of family members disappointing, or friends disappointing, or people that you're just going to get disappointed. Some people, you know, in my line of work, it's real easy to get disappointed when people won't grow, when they won't grow, when they won't show, when they, you know, what they're just not going to grow up. They just don't care about their character. It's disappointing, but we have to learn to manage ourselves in those situations. Amen. And so Apostle Paul had no one standing with him. And so he's saying, you know, I really need you, Timothy. Thank God for Timothy. But this is where you need to decide whether you're going to be seasoned or poisoned. So I'm going to run through those one more time. Eventually we'll put them up. But seasoned people trust, poisoned individuals are paranoid. Isn't that the truth? Seasoned individuals are open-hearted. Poisoned individuals are closed off. Seasoned individuals release hurts. Poisoned individuals accumulate hurts. Look how everybody's. Seasoned individuals have scars. Poisoned individuals carry wounds. Seasoned individuals are thankful. Poisoned individuals are resentful. Seasoned individuals heal others. Poisoned individuals poison others. Seasoned individuals are proactive. Poisoned individuals are reactive. Seasoned individuals are resilient. They roll with the punches. Poisoned individuals are fragile. There's no bounce to them. They're just, they're just going to be fragile. It's just not going to work. Everything's going to be sensitive. Everything's sensitive around them. So it's good to grow up and become seasoned. Just go ahead and know. I love the advice I got from Pastor John, and we're rolling right up to about the time he told me this 23 years ago. He said, Rox, you're going to be disappointed all the time if you continue to focus on the people who won't do anything. Because you're going to find out, and he'd been in it a long time, that there's a core of people that do everything, and then everybody else in and out. And, you know, it's 23 years later, and it's the same story. It hasn't changed. There's still the core. Amen. There's still the people that care enough, and then the people that are still saying, you know what y'all ought to do? Mm-hmm. It's still the same. And that's because people are selfish. They are. Amen. Now, so I know it's none of you. So let's move along. Okay. Now, praise the Lord. Now, number four, he had to deal with relationships from a distance. I will not sing the song. So, he's always saying stuff like, greet Aquila and Priscilla. Tell Lydia, greet Phoebe, and she was doing great things for the gospel. He's always saying that in all of his letters. He's always talking about the people he knew. He loved them. He loved them. He couldn't always be with them. It'd be like me saying, hey, if you see Derek and Jennifer, tell them I said hi. Jim and Misty, you know, they're not right here with me, but they're dear to me. Riley and Kim, you know, praise the Lord. And there's just people that you're going to have relationships with. They're going to be from a distance. Don't forget them.
Right.
Pray for them. Say things about them. Thank God for Facebook sometimes, I guess, because you could actually greet someone that's far away from you. Or you could send someone a text and just say that. Just remind them how much you love them. Call a few people. But you work on relationships that are from a distance. Always appreciating partnerships. Always appreciating those relationships. Mentioning the people that stuck by his side. He'd always do that. So, Onesiphorus, maybe is his name. Onesiphorus? I think. Some real long name of this guy. Now, there's two guys that start with an O. One of them did one thing, but this guy that I'm talking about, he stuck it out with Paul. He'd just be right there with him. He'd just show up with him. He's just so grateful. He's like, oh, no, I'm here. I'm here for you. I'm here. And so Paul would mention these types of things. He had a tendency to mention all the things that were going on with him. I remember one time I was talking to Pastor John. I said, who is that blonde-headed guy that you always, he's always waving at you and smiling, and he's not around a lot. He lives in another town, but I always see you smiling at him. He has this big old grin, and Pastor John says, oh yes, that's Lee. I love him. I miss him so much. It was just this tender moment about this guy that I thought he hardly knew, but boy, did he know. And it reminded me of how Pastor John would love people from a distance. He would remember things about people and say great things about them. So he dealt with people who weren't right there with him, and he remembered, which we should remember to say hello to the internet audience and that we love you. Praise the Lord. So I need to put a note right here because I get to go in and I don't think about that, but we need to. That's where I can make some corrections. See? Amen. All right. And so the next thing, number five, is relationships with the faithful. So Paul was in the Mamertine prison, and we were just there this summer, and we were there last summer with Art and Amanda. We were actually down in that hole, and the interesting thing, I keep learning more and more about the Mamertine. You know, Paul and Peter both had opportunity to be locked up there. It's like this little sewer well cistern thing, and when stuff backed up, it backed up on them while they were down there. And so now there's a stairs that go down in there. Now you can go down there and stand where they stood. But in those days, remember that little hole? And they have a little bars over it now? They lower them down through that. That was the actual place. And so he has to go to prison. He goes there a few times. He gets let out sometimes, but he goes there. But did you know that Luke was with him? But I don't think Luke was in prison, but he was there in Rome. And so the belief is, we're not sure, it's not in the scripture, but we do think that Luke probably helped him write some letters. And so Luke, look at Luke. How important is Luke? Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And what else did he write? Acts. And so did you know that Luke's only mentioned 3 times in the Bible? But how important is Luke? But he's only mentioned, now he's, you know, they wrote it in there because he's Luke. But I mean, he wasn't talked about a lot. But Paul said, Luke stayed with me. Yeah. He stayed with me. And so Paul's feeding him this stuff, right? And so he's working and working on relationships with the faithful, those that stayed with him. So there were some others, of course, that did. And so it's a good thing. Work on your relationships with those who are faithful to you, your friendships with those that are faithful to you, those that would show up, those who would be there for you, those who notice some things about you. You all right? You know, just pass you by. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And the next one is number 6, strained relationships. I really like this one. I think this one's very important. Remember John Mark. All right. So, we call him Mark. And so he goes on a mission trip with Paul and Barnabas, and they're out there. And I think they were, Thessalonica area, I believe that's where they were. Anyway, he ups and quits in the middle of the mission. Paul got ticked. He was not happy. And so it was strained. And what made it more strained is that Barnabas disagreed with Paul about the whole thing. So now they're having this little thing over this little disciple because it appears that they don't agree. And I'm telling you, there's been arguments about this for the last centuries. Who was right? Was Paul right or was Barnabas right? What should have gone on with Mark? Well, I think they were both right. I think they both had valuable things. Paul is very task oriented. We got to go. We got to do this. Buck up, said Roxanne. Right? Okay. But Barnabas is like, now don't be so hard on the boy, said Deb. Right? I mean, that, and you know, and you all play those roles like that too. We got to go. We got to go now, you know, and then that kind of be okay. You know, so they have these, they both, the mercy motivation is good. It's wonderful. The task oriented is good too. So I would just say this to you about those in any kind of strained relationship. Just remember this. Never cut what you can untie.
That's right.
Never cut what you can untie. If the bridge is burning, throw water out on it as far as you can. Yeah. Don't just go, I'm done with them. They're useless. They're never going to get a place in my presence. No, because chapters change. But listen, people have times when they go through hard times and they make really bad decisions. But you can't cut them off. There's new chapters coming in their life. Something new's going to come. They can get right on and turn out to be the best. And did you know that Mark did that? You know what he wrote, right, Mark? Okay. And so he goes out and he starts getting mentored by Peter and hanging around with those guys. And he made rapid improvement. And we find out later that Paul said, hey, bring Mark with you. So he softened. So, you know, you have to watch yourself. And there's a balance to this because we do celebrate noble failure, right? You can put people in positions and they just can't get it right. If they're hitting that cymbal on the total wrong beat and they can't get it, you can only celebrate noble failure so long. That's why we don't have tambourines in the church. Now, am I right? Talk about the drummer having a hard time. And a tambourine is an instrument. You must play it correctly. We want people to have fun and be happy and you can jump around and dance, but when you get that tambourine in your hand, you don't need to aggravate the whole congregation over it. That was free. Anyway, that is a strained relationship. Praise the Lord. So, you know, Mark grew up and Paul mellowed. He mellowed. He got through. So I would just say to you, just try not to throw anybody out. They can change. But also in this, keep this one thing in mind. There's a difference between forgiveness and trust. There's a difference between trust is earned. Now, Mark came back and earned trust. But Christian people have a real hard time with this. I've helped minister to some people who are like, well, you know, they did a bunch of ugly stuff to us and they took our credit card, our business credit card, and they spent money all over the place and they never paid us back and they did this and they did that and they stole money and they did all these ugly things and now they want to come back and work for us. I'm like, you're crazy. You're like, well, we're supposed to love. Maybe that's not love. It's enabling. Maybe you need to wait and watch them grow and check them out before you trust them again, because you don't need to let them tear down your household or your business or anything or your church. When someone falls, they should have the opportunity to be corrected, stand down, and come back later. They shouldn't be kicked out forever. People used to be so hard on divorced people or people that made a mistake, you know, and then they were out forever. You're never going to. But if you go ahead and take the correction and you do what the leadership who is over you, the person you're accountable to, tells you to do, then you ought to be able to just pick right up when they say, okay, I think you're ready. I think everything's okay. Once again, we shouldn't just burn that bridge. Yeah. But at the same time, there is the trust value. Yeah. If someone keeps coming home drunk and beating you and promises the next day they're not going to do it again, I think you might want to finally decide to. There's a decision that has to be made, right? You're like, well, you know, the Bible says we need to stay no matter what. No, I don't think so. I think you might be reading that wrong. You're not supposed to risk your life or your children's life. It's a cop out is what that is. I've known battered women who did not want to leave because, frankly, they didn't want to go get a job. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just the truth. People do things like that. They stay for the wrong reasons. And then when it comes to you, when there's strained relationships, don't just pull them up close. You don't have to forget. Now, saying that, that doesn't mean you don't love. It doesn't mean you're not kind. It doesn't mean you're not smiling. All of those things are there. Warm greetings, but you watch your back. And you wait until the Lord tells you that you should move in any closer in that situation. Do y'all receive that? Yes. Praise the Lord. Okay. And number 7, you're going to really love this one. Toxic relationships. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So I think this is where the concepts of boundaries is good. Kelly had a teaching a couple of years ago that we just loved. She had someone on the program and they were talking about how, watch your circles. You have circles, like you'll have a tight circle. You know, you'll have you and your spouse and your family and a tighter circle of friends and best friends. And then you'll have another circle and another circle. Well, those strained and toxic relationships, strained would be out, but toxic would be way out.
Yeah.
And you got to learn that. I don't have this in my notes, but I feel like the Holy Ghost wants me to say this to you. Be aware of seducing spirits. Seducing spirits are not just a cute man in some blue jeans that might flirt with you, or that sister that you think looks good. It's not just that. There are people with seducing spirits who will pull you into their clique, into their crowd, and begin to want to control you and tell you things. And people will do that with their businesses sometimes. They'll control all of their employees' lives because they pay them. I've seen that. I've seen people not come to this church because of that. It's sad. But because that paycheck is there, that makes them make the decision. That's a sad way to live, church. That's toxic. But what they believe is that they can't do any better. And they could. They could. It's just almost sickening to me to think that people are so controlled by that. So, but you have to watch out, because people, they seduce you into, well, I'm your best friend, and they're not. They're not. Mm-mm. Or this, look at my business plan. You better watch out for that. Thank you, Jesus. And there's a lot of people in good businesses. We have people here that have good businesses. So don't think I'm picking on you. I'm just saying watch out for things that go on in the world about it. Now, so you love, you forgive, but you don't allow that toxicity to get in close proximity. Oh, yeah. Those are a word with a lot of X's and C's and stuff. Okay, so... But I really think this thing just is real overboard. Now, Pastor, we're called to turn the other cheek. You know, you don't even know what that means. You know, I really think it's time here in the future that we go study the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. Because you may not know what poor in spirit is. It's not about being poor and broken, busted, and being a victim. That's not what that's talking about. Actually, turning the other cheek to the Jews meant if someone insults your integrity. That's what that meant. It's not that they came up and slapped you, which would insult your integrity, but that's what they're trying to say. It's like when someone insults your integrity or your character, it's like a slap in the face. And what they're saying is, don't go for revenge. Don't go for revenge and attack their character. That's what that's saying. But everybody's like, well, you know, if my husband come home and he hits me, I'll just have to turn the other cheek. That's not what my friend Gladys did one time. She hid behind the door with a frying pan. Not this Gladys. Everybody's going, Gladys, you didn't. No. Now, was she right? I'm not saying she was right, but she had had enough. And that's what happens to people. They had enough. They're going to go, you come in here and you beat me. I'll show you the mustard, all right, you know. But don't, you just get away from that. Don't live in that toxic thing. You did the best you could. You tried to make it work. You prayed for them. You believed God for them. And they didn't want to go the other way. So move them out of that circle.
Yeah.
If they're poisoning you about the people you're friends with, if they're poisoning you about the people in this church or me or our tribe, move them out. That poison is dangerous. And it's subtle, church. It's seduction. Well, I heard. Or, well, you know, the Bible doesn't. That's wrong. You know, I love what a friend of mine said. Actually, both of the people were my friends. One I'd known a little longer. The other, they're both preachers. And one of them said, you're following so-and-so? And he said, oh, yeah, I've been going up there. And meeting with them, with the preachers, meeting him and everything. And the guy says, well, he believes there's some wrong stuff coming out of there. And he said, well, I don't know about that, but there's a whole lot of right stuff coming out. He didn't let that guy get to him. And And when you look back at the situation, and it could be just speculation, but let's just say that it wasn't them. But if you were looking at that and that happened with two people, you could almost think that that person trying to poison that person wanted to get the other person away because he wanted to be the one for that person. Yeah. Uh-huh. Don't go there. Here I am.
Yeah.
That doesn't work, does it? You know who you're called to.
Right.
Praise the Lord. All right, now, so you're not called to be the doormat.
Amen.
Not even with words. You don't need to sit around somebody cussing you out.
Amen.
I could go way out here on this one, but I would just say, I pray that we all, and particularly husbands and wives and close friends and those of us that live a lot together, that we would be really mindful how we treated one another.
Yes.
With honor and respect.
Yes.
And also not touchiness, you know. You know, a lot of times we'll assume, well, Mama, she doesn't care. And Mama might be hurting. Well, you know, my old lady, don't you call her your old lady.
Mm-mm.
Don't you call him your old man.
Uh-uh.
That's not honor. It's disrespectful. Well, you know, she is under me. No, she's not. Now, I will tell you this. When God created men and women, he didn't create man to be in charge of women. God called himself a helpmate. He created her so that man could have everything he needed. And she would have everything she needed. So man is not in charge of woman. But man has spiritual, husband has a spiritual charge with wife. There's a difference. So in other words, Larry's not in charge of me. But he's definitely Jesse's safety net. You see what I'm saying? He's definitely the one that has to make the final decision in her house. Now, if that's the way I read the scriptures, it's certainly about 100% and 100%. It's not about you getting a wife that you can boss around and do what you want to. But it's also not about you getting yourself a mamby-pamby husband that you boss around either. I like what Brother Copeland says about Gloria. He says, she's no chicken woman. But we learn our spiritual roles. We learn. We learn how to be under authority. All of us learn how to be under authority. Husbands should love their wives. Wives should honor their husbands. This is about Christ and the church. It's about honor. And so this is not something that we ought to think about when we preach about it once every year. We ought to actually think about it. And Holy Spirit, help us. Help us in our role. And listen, if you live with someone who it's a zero, they don't love God, they don't do anything, they don't love you, but you feel like you're supposed to stay, you could find that place, as long as they're not abusing you, you could find that place where you could live happily. And the Bible says, if, you know, you could stay if you want to, but it also says if they're not a believer, you could go too. So just read to see what the Bible says about it. And then you listen to Holy Spirit about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all receive this tonight? You know, I could just give out scriptures and preach to you stories and everything. But if we don't do some nuts and bolts, we'll never grow. So we have to talk about things that actually go on. I'll wait till everybody's finished talking, so it's rude for me to talk while other people are talking. All right, we good? All right, so we have these circles. So who's in Jesus's circle? John first and Peter and James, right? They're the three closest friends. And then there's the other disciples. They're the next closest friends. And then there's the 70, and they're the next circle. Right? And so you have these circles where people are. Some of them are closer than others. And it's okay. There's respect for all areas, but in the midst of this, don't forget respect for yourself.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Now, think about what we've just said. If possible, live peaceably. Live peaceably with whoever you're living with. If possible, do it. If you can do it, do it. If you have the grace to do it, do it. But don't allow toxicity to get in. Amen. I hope that makes sense to you. Get those circles out. Praise the Lord. Be smart about it. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't listen to your emotions. And you know, we're going to talk about emotions on Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. We love that part, don't we? Praise God. You got to know. You got to let your spirit rule, church. You got to let your spirit rule. If you're going to be in agape, you got to let your spirit rule. I'm going to tell you, it's a sad life to have no friends, isn't it? And you know who are the people who usually don't have friends? They're the ones that won't make friends. It's just true. They're just going to just walk past everybody. Praise the Lord. They're just not going to have, you know, they're just, it's me, So, well, I'm too shy. Well, get over it. Walk in and say something to people. Well, I don't want to. Well, see, that's that stinker in you that needs to smell better. That's that selfishness that you're doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
We don't always do what we want to do. I don't always feel like coming in here smiling. Y'all don't either?
Yeah.
Most of the time I do feel like that. Because, you know, I got the joy of the Holy Ghost. But sometimes I want to say, Lord, just let them all go to hell. I'm staying at home. We all have those kind of fit, don't you? Sometimes you're just like, I'm not trying to cuss. I'm just saying sometimes you feel like to hell with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
You do. Yeah. You feel like that at work sometimes. You feel like that when something. But you know what? You get up. And you do what's right. And you look at yourself in the mirror and say, you're not going to behave like that. So put that away. Put it away. Put it away now. Get up and go be friendly. Go love. Go do what you need to do. I'm just not going. Yeah, you are. Get up and go do your part. Well, they won't know if I'm there or not. They don't notice if I'm there or not. Deb just said she'd slap us. We're going to have to cast the devil out of her in a minute. So that's victim mentality. That's being a victim. We love you. I love you. We say good things about all of you. Praise the Lord. Just talking about Jib and Joan when they came in here in their little motorcycle clothes. I was like, that's cool. That's cool stuff. I like motorcycle people. Amen. I still remember Pixie, your weenie dog. And Precious, her baby. See, because we've loved each other for a long time. Amen. They were weenie dogs. We ate weenies at your house all the time. You don't even remember that, but we did. Now you have Oscar, the weenie dog. Is his middle name Meyer? Uh-huh. My dogs, I guess, have boring names then. No, they don't. They have good names. God is good, church. He's helping us. But you can't just put this on the back burner. And don't assume that the one you love, the one closest to you, that they're all right with you. Ask them. Think of something nice to say. Amen. Think of something nice to say. Amen. And even though you have to say it through your teeth. How you doing? How was your day? No, I'm kidding. You know, I'm going to tell you again, Bill Winston, he decided Veronica shouldn't have been his wife. He shouldn't have picked her in the first place. And he's going, blah, 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 blah. She don't cook good. My mama cooked good. She'd pick somebody who cooked better. And, I mean, the Lord got on to him and said, you better turn that around. So he started thinking of all the things he loved about her. And he started praying for her and confessing the word over her. And she turned into a jewel. It was there all the time. But he didn't see it. Because the seducing spirit of the devil covered all that up. See, sometimes the devil's covering all that up and saying, you don't love them. You couldn't possibly love them. You don't love them. What are you doing? Why would you love them? Why would you love them? But you do. Amen. Amen. Look at there. We worked right down the clock. Praise the Lord. Y'all received this today? Did we talk about our emotions on Sunday and how to get self out of the center a little bit and keep working on that? And then it'll begin to be a daily thing with you. You'll catch yourself. I'm in my life, I catch myself even with just thoughts. I'll start trailing down a thought and I'm like, oh no, Lord, forgive me for that. Even though I know it's a thought coming from the devil. I'm not saying that and I'm not thinking that. And you start knocking those out, you'll live more peaceably with people. Amen. You will. You'll live more peaceably with people. Find out the will of God. Once you know the will of God, get it done at all cost. Once you know the will of God, don't consult flesh and blood. Just do it. You don't have to go around asking 15 neighbors, do you think? What do you think, do you? Just find out the will of God. Stay with it. Stay with those good relationships. Stay with the people that you think love you. See, even when sometimes you don't think they love you. God loves you. Amen. Amen. I love you. God is good. You're accepted in the beloved. Yet you don't know where I came from, and it's just made me a tough old cookie. Well, we'll just put you through the softener, because that's what Holy Spirit does. He softens you up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We do love you, Lord. You are love. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And love is good, love is kind, but love corrects. Yes. Love will correct and love will say no. And so, Father, we thank you for that good balance in our lives, that we'll stay out of toxic things, but we will ourselves love and be seasoned and not poisoned in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's receive our offering. Praise the Lord. If you would like to give, those of you online, thank you for your partnership. We appreciate it. We appreciate your funds. We appreciate you watching. If you'd like to give, you can give to VCHL. You can text that and the amount you want to give, 73256. Click the link and complete your gift, and it will go on to our into our financial realm, is what it's called. And we'll receive it, and we bless you for it. We thank you for it. We declare hundredfold return over your life in Jesus' name. Come on. Praise the Lord. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. So good news. Today, Danny paid for our, we actually had some givers that gave into our Spanish already. And so we went ahead and got it anyway. Whether they would or not, we're going to get it. But they did, and it was a blessing. But the Spanish translation will not start this Sunday, but next Sunday. We just have to tutor through it, but it's going to be real good. We've already bought the hours for a whole year, already paid for it. And so our Spanish speakers, they can, listeners, they'll know what's going on. They get on their phone, they hit that QR code, and they can see what I'm saying translated in Spanish. And they can hear what I'm saying translated in Spanish. And so it's really cool. And then we actually, you can buy any language you want to. So the whole world is out there for us. The whole world. And so it's going to be amazing to see what God can do. So now the Spanish that we bought is Mexican Spanish from Mexico. And so we'll find out how to proceed on that if we get into some other places. I'm really excited about it. So Chava, Salvador, has been texting me and Deb in Spanish.
Yes.
So he's practicing with us learning I'm picking, Deb already knows it. She already told me what he said. And I said, Deb, I need to know what Salvador said to me. He's saying the next Tuesday is going to bid on the back wall for the sheetrock. Okay. So praise the Lord for that too. That's good. But we love them. They're so precious. They're so precious. But the whole family that sit over here, they're traveling, but they all speak English, I think, except for mom and dad. And so those are the two, and then it'll probably pull some of their friends in that, well, I believe it will. And then, of course, we have people in some other countries that Art has dealt with that have listened to us. And so, praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. Let's stand up. Praise God. Pride comes before the fall. That's the one thing that you will have to deal with. And it comes in different pictures. It's not just that guy that's like, rawr. That can be pride, right? But pride can come in all kinds of pictures. It has to do with entitlement. It has to do with control. It has to do with not wanting to submit. There's a lot of things that pride works on. So study that out too. I don't know when we'll hit that, but... But gosh, I always try to keep that in mind. All right, you're getting a little out of hand. You know, I think that about myself. Watch yourself. Church, stuff's going to come up in you. This is what we're going to talk about Sunday. Stuff's going to come up in you, and you're going to say, they made me so mad. They did not. It was already there. I'm going to teach you about that. There was something in that rejection syndrome that sparks that. They can't make you anything. But it's coming from an emotion that you need to overcome. And you use that emotion as a teacher. All right, why am I reacting like that? What's going on with me? What in me makes me react like that? It'll help you so much. You'll be so free when you get that. You won't be intimidated in life. Amen. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.